Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I personally don't think it would be an issue. Phil's a professional. Is Phil the easiest guy? No, he's hard on himself. He's probably harder on himself than he is on anybody else. Phil's a guy that expects a certain level of compete from himself and expectation for numbers. And if he doesn't get them, then he's not the easiest guy in the world to get along with. He's not the only player in the league that's like that. But I don't see that being an issue. There's a lot of rumors out there that, you know, Phil's this and Phil's that. One thing I know about Phil, Phil's a cancer survivor. Phil's been a top-end scorer in this league for a long time, and Phil Kessel's won two Stanley Cups. That's what I know.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Pony and Mueller Show, the PM Team, 93.7 The Fan, Pierre McGuire, who checks in on Mondays. Great job by Chris yesterday to think ahead and ask Pierre about Kessel returning to the team next year.
Why are you doing this?
It's like you knew that this was going to be a topic today.
I made an offhanded comment in the back I said, yeah, good job by me asking Pierre a question that ended up being relevant to today, but it was tongue-in-cheek. I got
what
lucky.
What an awesome question.
What is my streak,
what
by the
awesome
way,
question.
On Pierre
oh,
telling me awesome question? Are we reaching DiMaggio levels?
It's Iron Horse-esque.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? You're out next week on vacation, and Pierre's still coming on. And I think having to shoulder the burden of questions myself, it's going to affect the
added
overall
pressure.
Quality. Yeah, it's going to dilute my questions.
Jim Rutherford has told now two outlets in town that the Penguins aren't trading Phil Kessel. He was prepared to trade him. It was all but done, but then Kessel nixed the deal to Minnesota. Rutherford, this is from Josh Yowie, quote, he'll probably play for Pittsburgh this season. Also saying that Kessel had a lot of leverage here because there's only eight teams he can trade Phil Kessel to. I've got a couple of thoughts on this, Chris, and that's what's on tap, brought to you by Fatheads 15 Packs, now available in Sunshine, Daydream, and Bumbleberry. Jason Mackey's going to join us at 4 to shed some more light on this. He's covered Phil Kessel for the last two seasons. He's been our Penguins insider. Now he's with the Pirates, but we'll, of course, ask him about these Kessel rumors. My first big thought on this is there's no logical trade to be made, and that this is, you circle back and you have to make it work because there's no team on Phil's list of trade partners that will either give you what you need back for him, or there isn't a team that might give you the package you want back, but Kessel doesn't want to play for that team.
Yeah,
so you're stuck between a rock and a hard place is really what I'm saying with Kessel on this. There isn't a match.
Jim Rutherford, I mean, sort of said it too in so many words, and I thought the most interesting quote in the Yowie story that I'm citing is him saying, quote, in situations like this, it usually doesn't work out so well for the team. And he went on to say the rest of it, but that tips the hand right there, does it not? And we all know that he tried to trade him to the Wild. In situations like this, it usually doesn't work out so well for the team, indicating to some extent that Phil Kessel being a Penguin is the situation not working out that well. They wanted to trade him.
They thought what was best for the organization and the team was to get rid of Phil Kessel.
A team that doesn't have Phil Kessel, nor does it have his cap hit on the books.
And now they're going to try to talk themselves into making it work with Kessel, and I think he's the type of personality where he doesn't care. Other guys might have felt wronged or disappointed or upset.
The Rivers Casino's still here. The poker room is still here, okay? I think the guy that this automatically puts the most pressure on is Mike Sullivan to massage the situation on the ice and make all the right moves when it comes to actually how he deploys Kessel. It puts pressure on Rutherford to do other things now, for sure. But people that were in the know, anybody that understands the dynamics of a no-movement clause, knew that this wasn't going to be a slam dunk. I think people just assumed that maybe, yes, they would find somebody that would trade for him. But as you said, the right combination that checked every box that needed to be checked was not out there. The Wild looked like it was going to be, that deal looked like it was going to be the closest thing to it. Kessel nixed it.
I think Florida's going to try to sign a free agent. I don't think they're going to make a trade and give something up. They're going to use their abundance of cap space to find a scorer. I think that Arizona, there's so much confusion there over who's really in charge, who wants Kessel, who doesn't. And I don't think, from what I've heard, that the Coyotes would even offer up the type of package that Jim Rutherford would be motivated or inclined to trade Phil Kessel for. So that leaves very few options. Evidently, there isn't one out there. I agree with what you're saying about Sullivan. It's partly incumbent on him to make it work. There's pressure on Kessel to have a much better season.
I mean, if you're Sullivan, why are you getting paid as a coach? Seriously. Aren't you getting paid to make situations like this that, granted, you find unpalatable, as workable as possible?
That's why he was brought here, because Mike Johnston couldn't make it work with guys like Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang. They were having career, worst seasons.
Oh, they were a joke of a team.
Yeah, and so Sullivan, you've got to find a way. We've got all this talent. It's not cohesive. You've got to bring it all together. And if he can't, then I think he should be shown the door next. I think that would be the next move. If Kessel's back here, what's the major move that jumpstarts the organization again? It's probably getting rid of the coach, which I know some people don't want to hear, but coaches in this business, I think, should not be sacred cows, and the Penguins have
won. Coaches should be treated like players.
The Penguins have won 4 of their 5 Stanley Cups with first-year coaches. So that's part of it. I think now it puts pressure on Rutherford, because he obviously wanted to make some changes, and he can't trade his biggest trade piece. I mean, I still think he should deal Letang, but that seems now like that's completely off the table, that isn't going to happen.
He kind of alluded to that, too. He said Malkin and Letang are staying put.
It's a non-starter for this team. What I believe is happening is this, too, and it was not articulated in either article that I read here about Kessel staying put. I think that there's a chance here that the Penguins have been hoodwinked and bamboozled by what the Boston Bruins have done in these playoffs. If you believe that professional sports is in fact a copycat league, where when you see quarterbacks in their late 30s and early 40s still playing well, the Steelers throw money at Ben Roethlisberger because they think he can keep it going into his late stages of his career. Mm-hmm. You see teams after the Penguins won with speed, other teams tried to duplicate that and replicate and win that way. I think what you have here, I mean, even going baseball with shifts and analytics and sabermetrics and stuff, I would not be shocked if we got wind that some of the higher-ups over at the Penguins looked at the Bruins and said, well, wait a second. Here's a team that's nucleus is all in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really break things up. They got rid of Claude Julien a couple of years ago.
They got older, but they stayed good.
Yes. Chara's 41. Bergeron's 33. Krejci's 32. Marchand is 30. Other than Pasternak, who I think is the Jake Guentzel in their kind of winning formula, 4 of their best players are in their 30s. In one case, a guy is in his 40s. Same with the Penguins. Letang's 31, Malkin's 32, Kessel's 31, Sid's 31.
I know. Here's the difference, though. I'm looking at the Bruins, and I know we have this because we have Pierre Maguire, who joined us yesterday, and you just played the quote about Kessel. I also remember asking him just something about like each of the teams in the finals, and he talked about how good Boston had it on defense, where every defense pair had a solid to very good puck mover. Not an offensive defenseman, but a guy that could skate, right?
Yep.
The Penguins don't have that. And I'm looking at these guys. Charlie McAvoy averages the most time on the ice for any of their defensemen this year. Mm-hmm. He's a puck mover. Krug. Guys like that. Brandon Carlo.
So you're talking about...
They have 3 defensemen minimum, at a minimum, and he has them on each pair who can move the
puck.
So
you're talking about like Trevor Daly's and Ron Hainsey's, guys that don't necessarily put up big points but can skate the puck out
they
of harm's
They have Jack
way.
Johnson
yeah.
still.
Very good point.
They don't have what Boston has. Players that can skate the puck out. When Letang is going great, he's obviously one of the best in the league at this. When Justin Schultz is healthy, I think he's pretty damn good at it.
Okay, so I think what you're also saying is maybe Boston doesn't have as many bad contracts. They've got David Backes, which is an albatross. They're playing against his former team. He captained the Blues, and he's up in the press box. That's how bad it's gotten
Correct.
For him there. But they don't have onerous contracts like Patrick Hornquist and Jack Johnson.
The Kessel, failing to deal Phil Kessel is not a referendum on, oh man, this is what happens when you get a player who has a no movement clause and look what happens when a player has leverage. It's a referendum on the Johnson deal and on the Hornquist extension. That's what you just said it. If they don't have Jack Johnson on the books and they don't have Patrick Hornquist signed to that extension, which unless he comes back is going to look very onerous very quickly, it already does.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do that, they're in a much better spot. Everything Rutherford said in the Yoey piece that I read, at least, seemed to sort of tie back subtly to the idea of finances being the chief concern here. Like, he talked about tweaks to the team, and what did he bring up? Pettersson, McCann, guys who will be due raises as restricted free agents? It seems like it's all numbers to him right now. Like, the Kessel deal would have been, did you not get that same sort of subtle undercurrent? The Kessel deal would have been more about getting the salary more or less off the books.
So I think what you might be alluding to here, and this is how I've looked at it, a lot of what Jim Rutherford said after the season ended was emotional. That the sting of getting swept by the Islanders was still, like, inside of him, was still kind of dictating his actions and his words, and it was pouring out of him. Like, we didn't have a motivated team. We didn't want it as much. We had kind of players that had won Stanley Cups that were complacent and didn't care
Malkin.
As much. Yeah. And now, like, time has gone on, and it's almost like Jim Rutherford sounds like a guy that's like, look, Malkin will bounce back. Kessel will bounce back. Teams have down years. And what happened, it almost read this way to me. The last year was a fluke. We'll be better next year, and we don't need a seismic change to be better.
Well, that's the situation he's in.
We'll run it back pretty much for the most part with the same nucleus and hope for better results.
We'll do what Boston did. Here is, again, the problem. Boston has young, talented players on the blue line who have very specific skill sets. Of course Jim Rutherford's going to say Malkin will be better, Kessel will be better, ipso facto will be better. What other choice does he have? He's boxed in, man. And he's boxed in not because they traded for Phil Kessel, who, might I remind you, and I don't think that this is something I'm necessarily... I'm making a straw man if there are people there who are incensed that Kessel's still going to be on the team, most likely. I think people realize how good he's been. It's not because he got Phil Kessel in a deal. It's because the Pittsburgh Penguins, under Jim Rutherford, decided Jack Johnson was a good signing and that it was smart to give Patrick Hornquist, an old war horse at this point, a lot more money for a lot more years. That's it. Find me a Charlie McAvoy for this team.
Well, they haven't picked in the first round in 5 years.
My point exactly here. Find me a bunch of guys in their 20s, and McAvoy's really young. He's precocious. But find me a bunch of guys that you can stick on defense here. What do you have, best case scenario? Two of them, Letang and Schultz, if both are playing with their heads screwed on straight, especially Letang. You have two guys that can really move the puck. They like Pettersson a lot, yes? They seem to.
Yeah, I don't look at him. I mean,
he's
maybe
not like McAvoy.
Maybe in a perfect world, he's Brian Dumoulin, who's
okay.
like a
and
really
they have, and they have Dumoulin, who's
solid
the other
stay-at-home
guy.
Defenseman. I mean, that's...
Okay, so you have Dumoulin paired with Letang. You have Schultz paired with...
You've got Olimata under 25 years old. But,
and stock falling still.
But he can't move.
Right. He's, I just said it, he's, find me guys that can move the puck and can skate.
Man, you know
the first line of the Olimata scouting report is cannot skate.
Man, you know what you're really hitting on? Is that they have guys who, if the GM shopped him around, probably he figured out there wasn't a lot of value in them. Who wants Hornquist's contract? Letang is still productive, but there are major injury concerns with him, which I think would limit what you could get back.
And they're
for
the
him.
Kind that aren't going to go away because it's a chronic. It's a thing that could go at any time.
I think Mata could probably fetch something, but my guess is the Penguins have an inflated opinion of Mata.
They're the guys that drafted him, developed him, and signed him early.
They could trade Schultz and get something back for him.
I still think he's more solution than problem, but, though. He's a very good power
play
general.
So what do you do with him? I mean, you sign him this summer and you give him a sizable raise to like $8, $9,
$10
million?
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You've boxed yourself in. It's the monster of their own creation to some degree, and it's hard to blame them. They've won 3 cups in the cap era. I get it. But this is when the bill comes due, and if the best we're left doing on the air here is comparing them to the Bruins and saying, at least internally, they must think, hey, if Boston can do it, why the hell can't we? If that's the best we've got, that's not a whole lot, man.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.